Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra.
And we just want to thank you for coming on today and listening to our program again. We are with Hannah's Heart. Hannah's Heart is a ministry and radio program or podcast that really deals with infertility and miscarriage, but we've grown to definitely cover more topics than just those two topics about foster care and adoption and the IVF and the different what that can look like and so many different ways to grow families. Yeah. And so, and then all different aspects of what that looks like in different people's lives. And so, anyway, it's been fun to be a part of. You can always find us at Facebook and Instagram, and then email us at hannahsheart@afa.net.
Yeah, and we just recently started branching out to doing some actual physical events where we can meet some people. We want to connect with you. We just started something called Hannah's Heart's Hannah's, that's a mouthful.
It's hard to say.
Hangouts with Hannah's Heart. Right now we're doing these based in Tupelo, Mississippi, where American Family Radio is located. But we are open to traveling. We like to eat new foods and go new places. That's my shout out, right? we are open to doing that in different locations. We'll probably have one coming up, end of August? Maybe?
That's what we're thinking, yeah.
Sometime around there.
We haven't figured out the date yet, but end of August.
Yeah, or if you want to come visit us here, you can come travel to us and eat some good food in Tupelo. Yeah. Anyways, we were just at a conference this past weekend, and we love meeting our listeners. This was our first conference, you guys. We got a little pull-up banner that had our faces on it, and I pulled it up. And I was like, my face was huge. And I was like, this is scary. But anyways,
first time to see anything like that.
Right? It was so fun to meet some of you all that have listened to us and to hear the encouragement and just to be reminded that there are a lot of people that need this encouragement and that you're not alone. And just we got to pray with some couples. And so we wanted to start off the show sharing a couple encouraging stories. Because I think the enemy makes us feel alone in this.
Yeah.
And what I'm discovering after almost 2 years of us doing this show is that there are so many miracles God is doing. And He doesn't work the same way twice. Mm-hmm. But every time, I keep thinking we're going to run out of content for this show. When we started, I was like, maybe it'll last a year. I hope we can come up with enough topics for that. Uh-huh. But God just keeps moving in people's lives, and it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, Anne, any stories that stood out to you from meeting people at the conference?
Yeah, for sure. Do we want to start with the coolest one?
Do we
have a coolest one?
We do.
I'm not trying to say the coolest, because y'all were all, if you're listening and you came and talked to us and shared stories, it was all amen stories.
So
definitely appreciate y'all coming to tell us that. But we did have a really neat couple come up. We won't use their names. They might end up being on the show sometime or another. And so they can share that all then. But they came up and they shared with us that they heard, when did they first hear the show?
It must have been early on, when we just started.
It was the Snowflake episode, and they had never heard of Snowflake adoption. And quick recap, Snowflake adoption is when that's an IVF process, and it's where the embryo is frozen. And
somebody else cannot keep that embryo. And so they have the option of just disposing of it, which it is life at that point, donating it to science, which is also murder. Mm-hmm. There's some ministries that have formed that are actually trying to help those unused frozen embryos find families. You adopt a child that is biologically not yours or your spouse's.
But the mom carries.
They implant it.
You get to experience pregnancy. Honestly, that sounds kind of funny. You hear so many negative things about pregnancy.
But you do when you've never, your body's designed to do that, and you want to be able to have that bonding, and you want to be able to, just for all the health benefits.
For sure.
Be able to
get to experience that. And so, adopting a snowflake baby is a way to do that. Mm-hmm. And so we actually have some resources if you have questions about this after you listen to this show today. Reach out to us about some of those resources that we've talked about, or go back to some episodes in the past and we talk about those resources there too. But this grandparents, this couple were grandparents, and he said, I just wanted to share with y'all, I had never heard of what the snowflake thing was, like what in the world y'all were talking about. But I went to my wife, and their daughter struggled with infertility, she and her husband, and they didn't know why they weren't able to conceive. But they were kind of like at their wits end, like, we're kind of done with this, from what it sounded like. And they hear this topic, and he goes in and tells her, and then they listen to the podcast together, and then they research it. They tell their daughter, and they sit on it for months and months and months. Yeah. And then I think all of a sudden it was like, okay, we want to check this out.
Yeah.
And so they adopted a snowflake, and we got to see pictures of the sleep
baby. She's born now. She's here.
She has
a calling on her. Like, she's
beautiful. The cutest little thing. And the granddaddy has such a cute little name for her, but I can't share that right now.
If you do want to hear more about snowflake adoption, we have done a couple episodes.
Yeah.
We'll try to put those in the show description so you can go back and watch.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's really, I did not know. I mean, I had heard the term, but did not know any specifics, and how life-saving this is. Yeah. It is literally saving that life that has been frozen. I think they said that she had been frozen for around 4 years before she was adopted. And so, this baby is born, and not solely due to the Lord, but it was neat hearing how the Lord used that episode to show this family what snowflake was, and now they have a snowflake baby.
Yeah. We also ran into a bunch of people that listened to the show that specifically told me that they are not struggling with infertility.
I know.
And I was like, oh, but you listen? And I didn't realize how encouraging these stories are, regardless of what you're going through in life. Like, you don't have to be struggling with infertility or miscarriage, but just to see God working. And like, we all can relate to the human desire of having unmet dreams and expectations in our life.
Right.
And so, like, for those of you that are living and walking this out, just know that your story might be impacting thousands of people who are watching you cling to Christ in the middle of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that's different. When
especially even non-believers look at you the most.
Yeah.
Like, how is this Christian going to handle?
How are they handling this?
Yeah. Now, I thought, I don't even remember this man's name or even if he told me, but he said, I don't know if you think this is funny or not, but every time I go work in my garden, I'm probably going to turn Hannah's heart on.
I love it.
And so he listens, and his wife was like, yep, he'll come in and talk to me about an episode.
I'm all of a sudden really nervous knowing all of these people are listening. Like, not that we didn't know before, but like meeting people, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, we do have listeners. it is neat, and it's super encouraging, you know, to make you want to keep pursuing. You know, we were talking about getting people scheduled for the show. Sometimes that's hard because people have other lives they're doing, busy things. Sometimes it's, you know, I've reached out to people and then they end up saying, like, I don't feel comfortable sharing.
Sure.
To me, it's a little awkward sometimes because I'm like, oh, okay, all right, sorry, I asked, you know.
Never mind. It's cool. Yeah.
I totally understand, you know, if you're not at that place yet. But yeah, finding people to be on the show, but hearing these stories and how they do have an impact on a lot of people's lives.
There were a lot of
it makes that worth it.
Yeah, and I also met a lot of women who are past childbearing age that listen, and they say they struggled with infertility or miscarriage, but they listen to the show because it brings them back to that time in their life that God brought them through something.
Yeah.
Like, I met several that fell into that category. So maybe you're listening and you have already gone through this issue and you just need to be our spokesperson to pass this show on even to others that are struggling.
Sure.
But we did have one person ask for us to cover something on the show that we haven't covered in a little while.
Yeah.
They asked us to talk about why it's named Hannah's Heart.
Yeah.
And just a brief, quick, how this show got started. So you want to take that in?
Yeah. So we're sharing that today.
Yeah.
We're planning on, so Hannah's Heart will turn 2 in October of 2023.
To you.
Yeah. So we will go back and do a more in-depth episode on that and share in our hearts on that. Because we did at the very beginning, but kind of need a little recap on why is Hannah.
And Hannah's
so,
such a great story in the Bible. We could spend like a
long time.
A lot of time
and
talking about
And I feel like
her.
We've both learned a lot more about her even since that episode. But so the show came about just from Kendra and I both struggling with infertility. Mm-hmm. We did not know that about each other until the show, I guess.
Pretty
like
much.
When
Sitting
we had
down
a,
having coffee together.
a coworker introduced us. And so anyway, the Lord had been stirring in my heart and life, I feel like, for a few years before I came to AFA, that I needed to do something because I didn't feel like there was much out there for us.
Yeah.
And so anyway, then I get to AFA and kind of don't think about it because I had a full-time job then. Like we also had foster kiddos and we had a little small business at the same time of redoing furniture. And so, like, my time was spent in all those areas. But then the Lord, I don't know, just kind of pushed me and was like, nope, you work for a radio station now. So this
Go
is what
be
you
the
can
help
do.
That's needed.
Yeah, this is what you can do. So Wesley and Walker, super open-minded about, like, I felt odd going to them and talking to them about this because they did not struggle with this personally. And they're
talking about the Wildmans and leadership at AFA.
Yes, Wesley Walker Wildman. You know, their families did not struggle with this, but then we've actually had Wesley and Chelsea on. I don't remember
specifically
what episode.
Miscarriage.
Yeah, and then Chelsea shared about a miscarriage that she experienced, and so not just because of that, but like Wesley was able to see like. We went through it and we weren't expecting it at all, you know. And so anyway, from there, I think Wesley even found me because then COVID happened and like we weren't in the office and things got weird, you know, being at work and like you didn't see people as often. And he ended up being like, so you mentioned this idea to me. But, like,
you gonna do it?
Never heard anything else about it. And I was like, I don't know how to do this. I was just giving the idea to you, you know. He was like, no, you came to me with the idea. If you want to do something about it, you know, I need to see some stuff about it. So I was like, okay. Whatever that means. So anyway.
And there really is a family that's formed since this show has started.
Oh, for sure.
Like, we have a lot of you that, like, regularly comment on our Facebook groups, and we're praying for you. And we will pray for you in person.
Yes.
If you want to email us at hannahsheart@afa.net and you just need someone to talk to, like, that is why this exists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a few girls now, ladies now, that we text back and forth. And they update me on doctor's appointments, and then I've been to lunch with one girl, and so it's really neat. Yeah. You know, like, I hope I can be what I felt like I needed at the time when we were still definitely in the depths of not knowing if we were ever going to be a biological mother and father, or at the time, we had not adopted yet, and so we didn't even know if that was part of our story yet, so...
Well, there's one other topic I want to hit on today's show, because we were just at this conference called the Marriage Family Life Conference, hosted by AFA. If you get the chance to go, it is awesome.
It's really
neat.
It
is, like, not just because it's our organization, AFA, that throws it, but it's one of the best conferences I think I've ever been to. And the caliber of the people that come are just so hungry for God. Yeah, the worship. Oh, my gosh. It's great. But one of the things that is often talked about at conferences like this is this idea in Genesis that the first command that God gave to us as humans is to be fruitful and multiply, right? And I think that this command comes up a lot in Christian circles today because of the attack that's on marriage right now, because we've got all the LGBTQ, and you've got, like, the world of adoption that, you know, you can just have two daddies or you can have two mommies and nothing's missing. You know, no, God designed one man, one woman, so that you have both this beautiful complementarity in that beautiful union. So there's a lot of focus and emphasis on that. And there's a lot of emphasis on the purpose of marriage being reproduction. And I think if we're not careful as believers, that what some people might hear when we emphasize that is that if you are not able to have children, then you are not worthy. You are not fulfilling this call that God has put on you. Yeah, and not let alone you feel broken when you're struggling with infertility. So I wanted us to just unpack that for a minute for anybody who maybe has felt a little condemnation from hearing that. And what do you think that scripture, be fruitful and multiply, do you have any way that can apply to somebody who's struggling with infertility?
I think for me personally, because it did bother me. I remember I was crying one day and just, like, very confused about that, because God, I want to honor you. I feel like I try to honor you in every area of my life. But this area that I am desiring mm-hmm. to do what, yeah, you tell us to do in yeah. scripture, I am not able to. Yeah. And like, it's not my choice, Lord. Mm-hmm. Like, this is on you, you know? Mm-hmm. But we've discussed this with Andrea Powell, who's mm-hmm. the director of Parkgate Pregnancy mm-hmm. Center. We've discussed this with other women who have struggled with infertility on like what we can be doing. And yeah, is that foster care for everybody? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was foster care for us. Mm-hmm. That was one way that we chose to, I say, pick up the slack and like pick up where it started bothering me a whole lot. We had two empty bedrooms mm-hmm. in our house mm-hmm. and there's children that need bedrooms. Yeah. And so that was our way that we felt the Lord was calling us to, you know, where we were hurting in desiring to be mama and daddy. Mm-hmm. There's kids that need that role filled right now, mm-hmm. every single day, every hour of the day. And so that is where we went to. We felt like the Lord was calling us to do that. Do I feel like foster care is easier if you're struggling with infertility? No, I feel like it's harder.
Really?
I feel like it adds a whole nother wow. layer because, you know, you're now having to share this child who you can't help but mm-hmm. bond with and love. And now you're having to take them to court dates and visits, and you have no say over mm-hmm. their medical care. You have no say over when they go to a visit or, you know, what that visit's going to look like. You just do what you're told to do. Mm. And so as us struggling with infertility and me wanting to have that connection with that baby, I had to watch myself mm-hmm. for a lot of the time we had him before yeah. we adopted him and the two other kiddos that we've had more than that, but the three that I feel like we got very bonded with, because that is they're not necessarily going to be adopted. Mm-hmm. In the state of Mississippi, we're a reunification state. And so our goal for the majority of the time until the court changes the decision, you're supposed to be on board with reunifying with that biological family. And so it is hard. It adds another layer when you're struggling with infertility, but then you're also doing foster care. But that is where we felt like the Lord wanted us. And he brought me to my knees daily, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with anything foster care because it's hard. Mm-hmm. But oh my goodness, so rewarding. We yeah. feel like we have gained three kiddos through this by the other two that we still have very close relationships with them and their biological mother.
Yeah.
And then our sweet boy who we did adopt. And he's just the best thing ever, and he knows it. But we still have a relationship with his biological mm-hmm. grandmother. And so, you know, those aspects are kind of hard to, you know, muddle through sometimes mm-hmm. because you got to figure out, like, how do we handle this? I've never handled things like this yeah. before, but it's so worth it in the long run. And so anyway, sorry, that was like a long answer to your question. But yeah, like figuring out where you can serve. Does that mean you mm-hmm. go buy diapers for the pregnancy center mm-hmm. down the street because that's your role right mm-hmm. now? Or does that mean helping in the church nursery? What does that look like for you? But we do have to come to a point where we're not just looking at our own struggles and our own problems and look at, yeah, other moms that could be hurting mm-hmm. or suffering. And, yeah, stand in the gap yeah. for those kids and for those moms while you have the chance to. Because, yeah, if the Lord answers your prayers by having children in your home, mm-hmm. time gets used a whole lot differently yeah. than it did whenever it was just you and your husband.
Well, and that multiplication, if you look back into Genesis, I don't think it's just referring to the creation of a new life
right.
in a physical birth sense, but in the creation of a new spiritual life mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. spiritual birth. As believers, every single one of us are called. Go ahead and read it in the Gospels. The Great Commission mm-hmm. says that we are supposed to go
right.
and make disciples of all nations. So if it's other nations, it's not just through your offspring. That's like the first way that God spreads the gospel is through parents training and growing their families.
Right.
But it's not the only way. So if you're struggling with infertility or miscarriage and you think that you may never have a biological child, I would ask the Lord to say, Lord, how can I be fruitful in this season yeah. right now of my life? Because we're all called to be fruitful. If you're not fruitful, then you're a dead tree.
Yeah.
You know, and what is it? Jesus yeah. cursed the fig tree that didn't right. have any fruit on
right.
it. So there's an aspect of this that's physical, but there's also a spiritual fruitfulness that we should have. And right. that comes from being connected to the body of Christ. So fruit should be growing in your life. You should be discipling somebody. You should be discipled by somebody. You should be discipling others. And if you don't have children in your immediate family right now, it might be that God is positioning you to help somebody in a creative way,
yeah.
because maybe they have a mom or a dad, but they're not able to fulfill. Maybe they don't even know the Lord. And, you know, yeah. I got to serve some young girls in ministry that did not have moms as believers, and they came from very broken homes. And I remember I had them over to my house one day, and I was just teaching them how to make homemade pizza, y'all. Like the one like from Kroger that you add water and oil to, and then you like spread the sauce and the cheese on. Like,
yeah,
not
still counts.
Hard.
Still counts.
Not even that hard. And they were like, we're becoming chefs. They loved it. And they were like, I overheard one of them talking to the other, and they were like, what would it be like if like Miss Kendra was our mom and we were all her daughters? Mm-hmm. And when they said that, my heart about exploded because I'd been in a very long season of singleness and I had the desire to nurture and raise and pour. It was like my glass was full, and at the end of the day, I would pour into other people, but there was still more to give. And I was like, Lord, what do I do with this extra, like I've got to nurture something. You made me to do this. And I was able to pour into that aspect of ministry for a long time. And you know what? I've kept up with some of those girls, and I'm trying to, like, several of them accepted Christ through seasons of me going every Monday night. We'd pick them up from their homes. We'd bring them to a church. We'd feed them. We'd pour into them. Just relationships. But you know what I'm not doing right now? Going on Monday nights to that ministry.
Right.
You know why? Because I'm in a different season of ministry with my own biological daughter. And there is no way I could watch her and do that at this season of my life.
Time
my
just kid, looks differently.
It does. It does. But you might be in a creative season where God wants you to be fruitful and multiply in a different way.
Yeah.
And ask Him. Ask Him to give you revelation on what that looks like in your family unit.
Right. I think that's so good. And I was mentioning foster care. I feel like, you know, it is a huge life change. You're welcoming people to live in your house that you do not know. But there's other ways, like ways that you're talking about. There's even something simple like Compassion International.
Yes.
Doing being a sponsor for Holt International, you know, doing the Angel Tree. Like, those were ways that I always felt like it was fun for Will and I to go pack a few Christmas boxes together and getting to fulfill, you know, that, talking about nurturing. That is nurturing. I didn't know those children that those boxes were going to. But yeah, finding even simple things like that, you know, letting, if you have parents down the street from you that need a date night, have those kids over to come come play, come make pizza, you know, eat popcorn, you know, do something. Because I can tell you now, being a parent, we've been parents of different numbers of children throughout the few years that we did do foster care. A date night's appreciated, you know?
You mentioned that to me off air about someone who was struggling with infertility that offered to watch your kids one day.
Yes.
And it was like a huge blessing to you.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have felt comfortable going to her and saying, hey, can you watch my kids? Because I know that can be hurtful sometimes.
Yeah, painful.
But the fact that she came to me and she was like, look, I just want to come love on some babies. Why don't you go? And it was like, I didn't even have the mom guilt that comes with, like, I had to ask on my day off if someone to come babysit my kids.
Yeah.
Because the mom guilt is there too. Like, I heard about that beforehand. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, no, she was a blessing and still is.
We had somebody that came to visit us at the booth that said, I think y'all need to do a show on single people. And we have. We actually have done one.
Yeah.
We'll have to mention that one in the show notes too. Lots of shows to reference here. But we need to do it again, because she was talking about how her nieces and nephews were like, she said, I just took all that energy and I poured it into them and was able to be a huge support.
Yeah. We also, one other show that I thought was really neat, and I think we'll have to cover it too. She has been divorced and she had a surgery, you know, to not have
had
any more babies.
Tied,
she had her tubes tied. And she was like, I think this is a problem too. Like, unfortunately, divorce is so common these days. And she was like, now I wish I wouldn't have done that. But now it's either like, okay, do I put my body back through surgery? Unpaid, you know, from insurance surgery. And so, we got all kinds of ideas.
Good show. Suggestions. So keep listening.
Keep them coming. Keep listening too. So I hope the show let you know how special our listeners are to us, because you mean so much. I mean, there'd be no reason to have a show if y'all weren't here. And so we appreciate everyone who came to see us at the conference and that reached out. And I just pray that y'all continue to do that and keep listening.
Well, I'd love to pray for our listeners real quickly. Father God, I just thank you so much that wherever, whatever season they are going through, you have a plan and a purpose behind it, and you want to use it to grow your kingdom and to bless them. Lord, I ask for creative and unique ways for them to fulfill the Great Commission, that they would be fruitful in their families, in their churches, in their communities, that they would be disciple makers. And I pray, Lord, that as they serve and grow, that it wouldn't be painful to them, but it would be life-giving, that it would just be something that encourages their soul, Lord, that it would be like a refreshing breeze hitting their face every time they serve others. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank y'all so much for listening. See you back next time.